Hello and welcome back to Finding the Funny.
So, Ange, how's your week been?
It's been all right, Pats, actually. Nothing too major. You know, bit of you know, school admin shit to deal with because gone back this week, so you know that's been quite a lot going on in this household. Yeah. But nothing major to report, to be honest, Pats. What about you? How's your week been? I think you've had a bit of a big week, haven't you, really, darling?
I've had a shit week.
You've had
it's been up and down.
Yeah.
It's been a roller coaster.
Do you want to share? Do you want to share?
Yeah, I would like to share. I think it's important that we, you know, tackle all things on this podcast, Ange.
Absolutely.
We're not one-trick ponies.
Yes,
we are
petty.
Not one-trick ponies.
Yes.
So Tuesday morning, I was getting ready to start my new job of all bloody days.
Yeah.
In the shower gel, found a lump under my armpit.
Bollocks.
Now, I don't know if you've ever found a lump, Ange.
No, thankfully, I have not had to experience that. So, no, I don't know what
anyone who's
like.
Listening that has, it is, it's horrible. The moment my thumb went on it, I was like, shit, that hasn't been there before. It's it's never been part of my body. What is it? And it was unmovable and it didn't, like, go anywhere. I burst into tears in the shower, got out, phoned Matthew, and did what I didn't think I would do this, but I went straight to the doctors. I phoned the doctor there and then said, I found this lump. It's not moving. It's very hard. Went in, saw the GP that afternoon, was at the breast clinic by Friday morning. So can I just say, NHS, I mean, what
bloody heroes.
What a service.
Yeah, that is amazing, Pat.
Oh, my gosh. I think for me, the Thursday of that week was the worst because I tried I didn't go to the doctors till the Tuesday evening. Wednesday, I was just like, it's fine. It's not going to be anything. Even if it's anything sinister, I've caught it early. It's fine. It's fine. Thursday morning, I just lost it. I was like, I remember feeling just terrified of what the outcome would be. Anyway, as it happens, it's a deep-rooted cyst and it may be infected, but that is the worst that it is. So, oh my gosh, when I went on Friday and the radiographer said, oh, yeah, it's a cyst, all your lymph nodes are fine. But to anyone who's ever found a lump and it hasn't been that, I feel like I felt 1% of the kind of fear that you must feel. But, yeah, it was...
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. You
amen,
are
sister.
Fine.
Fine.
Fine. It is just a big old cyst in your pit.
It's a cesspit
in your armpit.
Yes. But yeah, it's all fine, and I've just got to keep an eye on it because they think it might be infected. But other than that, all fine. But it's so important that you check yourself regularly.
Oh,
and I wouldn't do anything different. I would not do anything different if it happened all over again. I would go straight to the GP.
I think you handled that amazingly, Pats.
Oh,
like,
thanks.
I, you know, thankfully have never experienced that. But I kind of sometimes think I don't know what I would do. I don't know whether I would be that quick on kind of, right, I've just got to go to the doctor, I've got to... I don't know whether I'd be a bit like, oh, I'll just leave it a couple of days.
No,
couple
I think
of days.
You would...
Couple
of days.
Couple
I think
of
you
days.
Would be that. I think you would be that quick because I always thought I'd be too frightened to go.
Yeah.
When you feel something in your body that you're like, that's brand new, it hasn't ever been there before, I think there's something in your psyche that goes, shit, I've got to get to the doctor.
Yeah. And that's
the only
amazing.
Thing
amazing that you saw your doctor on Tuesday late afternoon and then were at the breast clinic on Friday. That is just incredible.
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 It's amazing, isn't it? Incredible.
Yeah.
So that was my week. Found a lump, panicked, obviously tried to tell myself lots of people get lumps. It's, doesn't necessarily, but you can't help but think.
No.
And because it was so unmovable, it was like, And it was so obvious that it was there. There was no denying that it was there. And I remember a friend saying to me, who did actually have breast cancer, she found a lump in her breast. And I always said, how did you know? And she said, you will know. If you ever feel something in your body, because sometimes when you check your boobs, like you just can't always tell, do you?
No, exactly. You're like, oh, is that something or is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I've felt this in my armpit. She's right. If you feel something that is new and hasn't been there, you know about it. Anyway, that was my week.
And Patty, because obviously we've talked a lot because of what's going on for you this last week. We've had a lot of calls. We've had a lot of, you know, reassuring and, and trying not to worry and all that shit.
Yeah.
And we actually got onto during one of our chats about sort of people that check your breasts, didn't we?
Yeah. Yes, we did.
And whether, you know, because I mean, was it a bloke that a doctor,
it was
a man doctor?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a male doctor.
A man doctor.
It was a man doctor. But, do you know what? Just quickly on that, one of my friends had a baby, or her friend had a baby, and I said, "What was the sex?" And she said, "It was a man,"
rather than it was a boy.
A man,
a man, yeah. And then she said, "Shit, why did I say it was a man?"
I've had a man baby.
I've had a man. Wouldn't she have? She had a man. She's called it Graham.
Shout out to all the Grahams.
Yeah. But yeah, we were talking about how, like, whether, what are breast doctors called? Are they just called breast doctors?
Breast doctors, I'd imagine. I mean, I would imagine they're just consultants, aren't they? Mammary doctors?
Mammary glands.
Well, because you go, what is the thing that you go for when you have your breasts checked?
Oh, what is it called?
Yeah, we can't remember.
A mammogram. A mammogram.
A mammogram. So they must be like mammary specialists or a mamma or...
A mamma. Maybe they are mammaliers.
That is a great throwback. If you don't know what we're talking about, go and listen to last week's episode.
Check out previous episode, people.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we were kind of basically talking about, you know, male doctors who have to deal with checking women's breasts, like whether that is a good thing or a bad thing, because they're obviously seeing a spectrum of breast.
Yes.
So they are very clear with good breasts and not so good breasts.
Yes.
And just how that maybe affects their own life.
What I think is different, you know, if you're a gynae, you know, it's very, you know, if you're a breast specialist, you are, he really, not in obviously a sexual way, but he really had to feel my breasts.
That's what I mean.
And he did a really brilliant job.
Yeah.
And he checked them thoroughly. So when he goes home to his wife, is he like, don't whap them out, love? I've seen 35 pairs today. Bloody hell, I don't want to look at those. Or is he during sex going, oh God, that feels a bit weird. Like he's just getting into it. And then he's like, oh, he puts his finger on something and he thinks, you know, it must just completely change your ability, I think, to find breasts sexual.
Whereas I think it potentially goes the other way.
Yeah, I just can't get on board with that.
Yeah, I think when you're seeing an array of breasts on a daily basis, that is only going to help, in my opinion.
Well, we disagree on that anyway.
We went out on Friday night with some friends, right?
This was. Did you ask them?
What?
Did you ask them this question?
No. But it's breast related.
Oh, right.
This is actually the highlight of my week. We went out on Friday night with some friends for a curry. And one of my friends who's there, actually, I don't know if we did speak about Alice before.
We have spoken about Alice. She's with Dom, who doesn't like squash.
That's the one. Right. So we're out with Alice and Dom and a few other people. But we got on to breasts. Maybe it was sort of psychological because I knew on Friday your breasts were fine.
Yeah,
so it was kind of in the forefront of my mind. Good breasts.
You were thinking breasts.
Breasts. Anyway, so we're chatting away.
Hang on, can I just say I love that word?
Breasts.
Breasts.
Yeah.
Breasts. I love it. Breasts. Great. It's a great.
I don't think we need to do it, but you... I love the word breasts.
Much more so than tit.
Oh, I hate
I don't like tits.
Tits. I don't mind boobs.
Although we call what gets on my shitting tits.
I know, and I don't mind it in that context, but I don't like it in these are my tits. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't like... I'd never say she's got a cracking pair of tits. Do you know what I mean?
No, breasts is great.
Yeah.
You've got great breasts.
So you're having your curry.
We're having our curry. We've had a few beverages. So we're amazing. We've all loosened up. You know, we're a bit more free, a bit more relaxed.
Yeah, you're burping anyway. Left, right and centre.
Yeah. I wasn't because it's in public, Petty. Yeah. It's in public. anyway, we got out of the blue, Alice tells me how much Dom is a breast man, right? Like, he loves breasts. He loves her breasts. Alice has got great breasts.
Has she?
Like, incredible breasts.
Right.
Anyway, she had this dress on that had like a zip down the front. She opened the zip up and there they were.
What?
Yeah, full array. They were incredible. Alice, your breasts are incredible.
Hang on. You're in a curry house. Right. Yes. And you're all together.
Yeah.
Did she have a bra on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a full-on black lacy number. And it wasn't like they've popped out. You know, like if you just kind of undo the zip, they're just there.
Yeah.
On show.
Right.
Get your breasts out.
Get your baps out.
Yeah. They were incredible. That's what I'm saying.
I do like calling them baps.
Baps. Yeah.
Yeah,
a couple of flowers.
There's a brilliant line in the office where they're down in the warehouse and the warehouse manager says about one of the female members of staff, she'll get her milkers out for a tenner.
her milkers. That is horrible, that one.
Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah. She'll get the milkers out for a tenner.
Disgusting.
Anyway, should we do the big questions?
Yes, let's kick on, Patty.
Here we go. So it's from Hayley and it was an email and it says, Hi, Ruth and Ange. If you badly dented a piece of fruit or veg or broke a packet of something in a supermarket, would you tell the staff, buy it or hide it and move on? Hide it and move on.
Across the board,
hide it and move on.
Would you? What if you like, I don't know, like... What if you dropped like a jar of something?
Hide it. I'd just leave it. No, I tell you what I'd do. I tell you what I'd do in that situation. I'd go and find a member of staff and I'd say, I've just found this broken jar here. I think somebody...
What if there were other people in the aisle that saw you do it and then lie about it?
I would say anyone's beat. He did it. You see that guy over there?
You see John down there. He smashed that on the floor.
John down there without a mask on is definitely him. He's definitely done it. He's a non-mask wearer.
He is flouting all the rules.
Talking about masks, just really quickly, I saw this brilliant thing on, I don't know what it was, I think Matthew sent it to me, where this woman had said, my husband is refusing to shop with me anymore because I sing really loudly around Tesco's, put your nose in your mask, you're a dickhead. Tune of Give Me Oil in My Lamp. It's just wandering around. But your nose in, now I can't stop doing it.
Yeah, what do people do? Like, why are you putting a mask on and not covering your nose?
It's ridiculous.
Did you see my picture on the gram this week?
Yes, with the J-Claw.
Yes, that was actually a woman I saw.
And then your next story that said, fuck you, COVID, we've got J-Claw. Absolutely classic.
Honestly, I walked into Tesco, right, and I walked around the corner and I was literally like, what the fuck have you got on your face? And then, obviously, I spied...
Oh, my God!
I spied her in the fridge section and thought, oh, good Lord. And then obviously carried on doing what I was doing. And then as I got to the queue, she was in front of me. Like, I've got to get a photo of this. taken the photo that I registered what she had in her basket.
Yeah.
She had two bottles of wine and a 3-pack of trifles.
Oh my God, that is hilarious.
Everyone round to hers for a party. Make sure you bring your J-cloths.
I mean, and then I started thinking, did she go out with the J-cloth knowing she was going to use that mask? Or has she got to Tesco and thought, shit, I haven't got a mask, but I've got a J-cloth in there? I would love to know. Like, how that... Was that a planned J-cloth mask? Or a shit, I've forgotten my mask, but I've got a J-cloth.
Maybe she can't be bothered to buy masks, so she just thinks,
that's
fuck
what
it.
I also thought as well, yeah.
I'm just going to try a J-cloth around my head.
And also, the way she... you can obviously see the front. But literally, like, it was kind of just under her nose and just covering her mouth. So it was like, what point? Is the point?
Like, you should have said, well... Put your nose in your J-cloth, you're a dickhead. But honestly now, I don't necessarily sing it out loud, but I do sing it in my head when I see someone without their nose in a mask.
Yeah.
Dickish. I watched an Instagram story the other day, and the guy had his, like, he was serving in a restaurant and he had his mask on his chin.
I know, yeah. I've seen
his mouth wasn't covered. His mouth wasn't covered. His nose wasn't covered. I mean, COVID doesn't get in through the droplets of your chin, mate.
No.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, gosh, that went on a tangent, didn't it? Well, I think I would either just think, I mean, if it was a damaged piece of fruit, I'd just put it back.
Same. Yeah. If it's your fruits or your veggies that you've just kind of dropped and...
Yeah.
I'd just... Yeah, hide it behind any others that were there.
What about if you smashed something?
Oh, if I smashed something, I'd have to tell someone.
Oh, dear, I just did a butt then, sorry. It sort of came from nowhere. Sorry about that.
I can see you. It's like you were talking to someone in the room. You went...
Oh my God!
He went. Oh, I'm just done about that. Sorry.
Have you ever caught somebody talking to themselves?
Yes. Yes.
I caught. Mum and Dad were on a table and we'd all finished and we were getting like a cheese and biscuits, and I turned around and Dad was sat in his chair going, shall I have a port, and he started really quietly and got louder every time he said it, and he said, and I was like, Dad, who are you talking to? And then Mum pipes up, oh, he's talking to himself. I catch him in the kitchen doing it all the time. It was seriously funny.
Oh, Mal.
That is so funny.
That is your classic Mal.
Okay, so I would probably, if I smash something, I think I'd probably say.
Yeah, I'd have
no,
to.
No, I'd blame it on someone else. I would go and find someone and say, I saw this smash down the aisle. I thought I should let you know. Then you look like the hero, don't you? Rather than the villain.
No, you don't, Paz. You look like a liar. No, if it was something like a jar that smashed, or I'd have to go and say, I'm really sorry, I've broken a jar of peppers or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's your fruit and your veggies, no, I'm just hiding that shit.
Yeah. Finding the funny. Okay. What gets on my shitting tits?
Right, Pats. Okay. Christmas shit in shops in September.
I love it.
I was in shops this week and there were tubs of shitting heroes and celebration.
Love it.
No.
Love it.
It
Love
should
it.
Not, none of that shit should appear in a shop until at least the mid to end of October, in my opinion.
Do you know what none annoys me more? Do you know what annoys me more on this front?
What?
I'll never forget being in a shop once on Christmas Eve and they were taking the Christmas decorations down to get ready for the sale.
Yes.
I was like, bloody hell.
We haven't even had it yet.
It was like 12:15 on Christmas Eve and they're all there putting up this. I was like, no.
Yeah.
No.
It's
I love the Christmas build up. I love Christmas. No, you're
wrong,
Ange.
I do too, Pats, but you don't start it in shitting September.
You do.
Except, no, you don't.
You
I don't want to see chocolates or trees or decorations or any of mince fucking pies should not be on a shelf in any supermarket now. And
the other thing
off when they're there.
The other thing that's really funny, isn't it? You go into a supermarket or a petrol station or something like the day after Boxing Day or even on Boxing Day, cream eggs are out.
Exactly.
It's like, oh shit, we're in the crimbo limbo. We're already gearing up for Easter.
Exactly. Like, let's just go. Okay, it's September. Let's just enjoy September. We don't need to be worrying about December right now. And also, the other thing that really pisses me off a bit as well, right, is all the autumn
shit. Roll.
Autumn shit.
Oh, yeah. That's American,
you know,
isn't it?
Oh, that is another thing. That, you know, well, I'm going to put on my autumnal clothes. I'm going to put on my autumnal cardigan. I'm going to have a hot chocolate with a pumpkin spice in it. And all that bollocks. It's just bollocks. It really does annoy the hell out of me, that.
I watched a girl on Instagram this week, like, decorate her house for Halloween and
autumn.
Like, put pumpkins everywhere.
Or people decorate it for autumn.
I know.
You don't decorate your house for spring.
You can get some people do.
Yeah.
You can get autumn wreaths and stuff, can't you? And like spring wreaths, and they change the wreath on their door depending on the season. And
just shouldn't be happening.
I've got one this week.
Oh yeah, go on, Pats.
Autocorrect. Right, I just want to say to my iPhone, I never mean ducking, I always mean fucking. The amount of times I've sent, it's really ducking me off. And I'm like, no, iPhone,
no,
I
that's
never
not what
mean
I'm saying.
Ducking,
yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, I'm never going to say the sentence, it really,
really
is really ducking me off.
Yeah.
I always mean fucking.
Yeah. So just get that in your phone.
Yeah. And the amount of times I've sent something and I've like, fucking autocorrect. It's so annoying.
It is.
It really pisses me off.
Yeah.
The amount of messages that I've looked back on and thought, oh, I didn't mean that.
Yeah. And then you have to follow it up with an asterisk.
Oh, yeah, with a this is what I meant.
Asterisk fucking.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we're now into dickish behaviour.
Yeah.
And we got this email from Matt, which says, hi, Ruth and Ange. I'm listening to the podcast, loving it, and I really look forward to a Tuesday for the next one. P.S. I'm now addicted to Mrs. Hinch. I can't stop, and it's all your fault. Now, dickish behaviour. I wipe my dog's bottom after he poos.
God.
My husband Darren and I don't have children, but I do buy Pampers baby wipes just for our dog Oscar. Thoughts? Dickish? I would like to add, do you allow your dogs and animals to sit on your sofas, beds and furnitures? Would you sit on your sofa with a naked bum after doing a shit without wiping your ass? I understand it's dickish, but to me it makes sense. The Hinch in me thinks it's needed. Maybe we need to ask Mrs. Hinch what she would do. Actually, that's just dickish right there. This is definitely a topic for discussion. I love the podcast, Matt.
Matt, you're a dick. That's it. That's it. That's all I can give you. That's just dickish. Wiping your dog's bum after he's done a poo. Dogs have bottoms that just slice poo. Just slice it. Slice it off.
They
there we go,
slice
I'm done.
Poo.
Yeah. They don't need to have anything white. Obviously, you know, if you've got a loose back door, yes, of course you're going to. But on the but on the whole, dogs don't need their bums wiping. Or actually any animal for that matter.
No. Because if they were out in the wild, they don't leave shit. They don't leave a shit trail.
No.
After them, their bottoms are designed to self-clean. Yeah. To self-clean. And then also, let's be honest, they lick their own, don't they?
Mm. They can do a drop and go.
Yes.
Drop it, go, done.
And then they also will clean it, won't they?
Yep. Exactly.
They clean it themselves. Mm. What I would say is don't buy Pampers.
No.
Because you could get a cheaper, shittier version.
Yeah.
If it's just for Oscar, I mean, look, Oscar's lovely. I'm sure he's a great dog.
Yeah.
But if it's just for your dog, I mean, save yourself some pennies, mate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get your bloody, you know, your Lidl or your
Get
Aldi's.
Your cheap Aldi shit wipes. Do that. If you want to be doing this for Oscar, which it sounds like you do, and
dickish.
There's obviously a big issue here that obviously probably needs a deeper investigation.
And it is definitely dickish. I've just got to say that from the top.
Yeah.
As the dickish panel, as the is this dickish panel, that is dickish.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And your kind of follow up of would you sit on your sofa with a unwiped ass? No, of course I wouldn't, because we're different species.
Yes. And we do need to wipe our bottoms.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And look, don't get me wrong, sometimes my cats will have a little Klingon.
Yeah.
You know, it might get stuck in their fur.
Or a loose back door.
I just get a bit of cotton wool and
a bit of
some
water.
Warm water. Just give it a wipe.
Wipey, wipey. Free to go.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. So, unfortunately, that is dickish.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely, Matt, you are in the dickish camp.
You're in the dickish behaviour.
For sure.
And then we had this from someone on Instagram. I can't remember who it was from. It was when I put up like a box of asking people to ask their big questions or their dilemmas or whatever. And one of the ones that I got, which I thought would be a good one for us to end on today, is what's your biggest fear?
Hmm. Now, I think, Patty, we're going to have the same answer for this.
Probably, yeah.
Mm. And, yeah, it's just losing people I love.
Same.
Like, even, like, this week with what's happened to you and this, you know, lump, and as much as every time we spoke, I was always trying to be, like, really... I don't know. We always sort of try and say, look, don't worry about it, Pat. I'm sure everything is going to be fine. You know, this happens to lots of women and men, you know, and I'm sure it's going to be fine. And you've done the right thing. You've gone to the doctor, this, that, and the other. There was always this part of me kind of going, oh, I really hope that what I'm saying is right and that it is all going to be okay. And I suppose it's just that fear of, losing you. Losing, you know, my children or Ian or any of my real immediate family just frightens the life out of me. And I can't, I can't let myself think about it too much. Otherwise, I think I'd probably go a bit insane.
Yeah. I remember really vividly when our granddad died, and we were really fortunate that we were able to be with him, and everybody got to see him, and it was actually me and Ange and mum and dad that were there most, really, probably up until the point that he died. And I just remember thinking so many times on that occasion, oh my God, what am I going to do when this is mum or dad? And obviously I would do exactly the same and I would be there, but I can't imagine what that must have been like for dad to watch his dad be that poorly before he died. Ill. Yeah. And I think for me now, that this week has also given me I don't have a fear of death. I don't have a fear of death because I have a faith and I have a belief that I know where I'm going. Mm. But I do have a fear of how I'm going to die.
Mm.
And so for me, is it going to be that I just go to bed?
Drop down dead.
Yeah, and actually, I don't fear that. Or is it going to be I get an illness or I get, you know, I suppose people who have things like motor neurons disease and stuff like that, that kind of long, like drawn out. So I don't, I definitely don't fear dying. I more fear being left behind and people who I love going and being on my own. But I do have, after this week, when I started to think, God, what if this is something really terrible? And you start to sort of picture what's that going to look like. I think now, I think I would say I don't fear death, but I do have a fear of how is my life going to end, I suppose.
See, I don't think, I again, like you, Pat, I don't fear death because I, like you, you know, we have a faith in God, and I believe, you know, we're going to go to a better place. And this is just a moment in time. I think in amongst my fear of losing people I love, I have a real fear about my children losing me.
Yeah.
I really do. And I have moments of kind of going, oh my gosh, like there will come a day when I'm not there for them. Yeah. And that I think the thought of not being there for them at some point in their life frightens me, because I just sort of think, I don't know, it's one of those things you think, if I could stop them feeling that, you would, you know. I always remember Mum saying the same thing, you know, obviously when she lost her mum when we were really young, you know, we were all quite young when Mum lost her mum, and you know, she I always remember her saying, I wish that was something I could protect you from, you know, that feeling of losing your mum or your dad. And I suppose that's what I kind of fear as well, is that the loss and the hurt and the pain they're going to feel when that happens. Which, you know, let's hope and pray it's, you know, a long way off, and we've got plenty of years to.
And that's the thing, you've got to think, you know, obviously when you lose a parent, it is, I can't imagine it. One of my really close friends lost her mum a few years ago, and it was absolutely devastating, and still is for her. You know, I don't think that, I don't think you ever forget them, do you? That grief, that grief of your parents never leaves you. You just learn to cope in life and without them.
Without it,
But let's hope Joel and Ellen have their own partners, potentially their own children, maybe, maybe not, who knows? That's never guaranteed. But, you know, hopefully they have their own support unit. When that does happen, they are able to ride that with somebody alongside them who loves them and is going to support them and cares for them deeply and is going to be there for them and help them in that journey. And I think for me, that's the comforting thing. Like, you know, my marriage with Matthew is by no means perfect, but what I do know is that when any of that comes for either of us, we will both...
You have each other.
Like, weather that storm together. And I know that in him... I've got somebody who will be totally supportive, totally understanding, and he's got the same in me. So that's an extra comfort, I think.
And actually, I was thinking about this morning, actually, because, you know, Joel and Ella have gone back to school and college and stuff today or this week. And I was actually driving back and I was thinking how much, although obviously... bloody Rona has been an absolute arsehole and has, you know, affected life, and also hundreds of people have lost people they love because of it. And, you know, I'm so thankful that, you know, we haven't been affected in that way. But I was kind of trying to think of, or I was thinking of the fact that I've actually really, as hard as they've been, and at moments I've been like hating the world that we're currently living in, having this last 6 months
with them,
without them being at school, without them being at college, without all the other stuff of life, I have absolutely cherished.
Yeah, of course.
And this morning, this kind of going back to sort of normal as such, I've kind of just felt like, I don't know, it's really, this morning has really made me think how much I have loved and cherished this time. And I just think that's the thing, isn't it? You've kind of got to, as much as you can feel a bit frightened about what the future holds, and you know, thankfully we don't know, but just cherish absolutely all the moments you have, you know, they're the good, the bad and the ugly, just you know, and be with the people you love and tell them you love them and all those things, because none of us are promised tomorrow.
Thanks so much for listening, as always, guys. You can find us on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ant Corden.
Or alternatively, drop us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com. We'll be back next week helping you to find more of the funny. With Ruth and Ant, the funny.